Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Stephen Donaldson is the author of Barnes of the Berkshires and Along Route 7, A Journey Through Western New England. He joins us to talk about his newly revised book, The Berkshires, which is a compilation of photographs of Berkshire County. Governor Deval Patrick chose the Berkshires as an official gift of the state of Massachusetts. I didn't even know there was an official gift of the state of Massachusetts. Apparently there is.
There is now.
And it's Stephen's book. Isn't that cool? And it's a great pleasure to welcome Stephen Donaldson to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. And thanks very much also to Sarah. I communicated with her and she made this possible.
Terrific producer, Sarah LaDuc.
She's great. And I'm happy to be here this morning.
Well, it's a delight to have you with us. So this book has an interesting publishing history.
Yes, sir.
It's been around for a little while.
It's been around since 2007, originally published by Commonwealth Editions, which is no longer in business the way it used to be in business, which was based in Beverly, Massachusetts.
Yep.
They sold about 500 titles to another publisher who was essentially a distributor. And slowly sort of worked off the inventory. And when my book sold out almost 2 years ago, which actually happened because I purchased the last of the stock so I could sell the books,
mm-hmm.
They had a 6-month option to either decide to republish it or to turn the rights over to me and subsequently to give me the files, which was the hardest part of the deal for me, was getting the original files so that I could work off of them. But I did, and then I set about becoming a publisher.
Okay. So, and in that process, in the revised second edition, there is new material that was not in the first edition.
Yes, sir. Yeah. There.
Like?
Well, there are 40 new photographs. I had gotten feedback very early in the first edition's publication life from some people that they felt that the book was too heavily geographically weighted to South Berkshire County. And they noted that I was from Great Barrington, or I live in Great Barrington. I'm not from there originally, but I live in Great Barrington. And therefore, I was being a little bit biased, or maybe by implication, a little bit lazy and not getting up to North County enough to photograph North County and put enough North County material in the book. So I really took that to heart, and I thought it was fair and you know, and fair comment and criticism. And so in the sort of formative phase of realizing that I was going to be able to republish this book and kind of give it a renaissance, I wanted to undo that injustice. And so I had 6 more years of more stock photography that I'd taken over those years. So I added probably 25 of the photographs are from north of Pittsfield. So I wanted to give it more geographic balance. And then there were some things I just, you know, I thought were better representations of the same place, or there were new photographs of Edith Wharton's The Mount since the restoration and the new gardens. And I had an aerial photograph originally, so I added 2 photographs I had taken just doing stock work from the ground level showing the gardens. And I beefed it up. And then on top of that, I took 75 photographs that didn't print so well originally because the book was printed in Hong Kong and I had less control over the print process. And I was able to edit those, establish calibration with the printer who is Quality Printing in Pittsfield, who did a superb job, and know that those photographs that I reworked and edited were going to come out even better in the new version.
So let me ask this question from two perspectives. And first, mm-hmm. this would be from your perspective as a photographer, of what you want to capture in a book like this. When you have that in your mind, it is to capture the place in photographic terms.
Yes. In a big part of what I do is stock photography. I license my work to a lot of through an agent to a lot of different users of photography. And the catchphrase, the term that they've always used is to capture the essence of a place. So a book like this, in my mind, personally, was about capturing the essence of a place that's really defined by its physical beauty, its natural landscape, and its historical context in this nation's development. And so I wanted to to just basically create a compilation of photographs that put an individual in those places so that they can imagine themselves standing on the same sort of roadside that I stood on and peacefully and quietly take in what it is that's beautiful or significant or interesting about that particular place or moment. And so my book is largely devoid of a lot of people because I want the individual to experience it for themselves in a sort of, you know, virtual solitude and take it in. And that's what I hope they do.
And maybe it's because so many of the places are familiar, but I find so many of these books to be sterile in the sense that you don't feel like they're real places. And I don't feel that with it. It seems very real, you know? And I don't, first of all, I don't know if you agree with that statement of that is a possibility. But if you do, of how you avoid that.
Well, I think that can be true. And I think it can be true because too many places take pictures of the same things from the same vantage points and in the same way that they've been captured before. And that sort of leads itself to a certain sort of over-familiarity with the audience and sort of a sterility at some point. It's not impactful. What I want to do always, and what I teach a lot too to individuals, is to show people how to look at things from a different vantage point, how to frame them differently, how to use natural elements to create framing, how to see through a point of a sight line and make something look different or look at something in a different way than anyone's ever looked at it before. You just turned a page, for example, to the town hall photograph of Town Hall in Great Barrington. Right. It's not taken from the front of the building.
No.
It's taken from the side of the building with a beautiful flowering tree in the springtime framing the entrance of the building. I've never seen that photograph before. I don't think anyone ever would see it that way if they didn't open my book and see it that way. So I give them the same material in a different way that's fresh and not too, you know, automatic or autonomatic or whatever. It's
with an autonomy.
With an autonomy, right.
Yes. So I find it interesting because, I mean, one of the things that New England does really well is seasons, and you represent those quite fairly. I mean, we think of New England in the fall, certainly, because it's just this burst of color and it's beautiful.
Yes.
But those of us who live here know the beauty of winter and spring and even summer. And so it's fascinating to see those all of those seasons represented. And because you're going to have a picture of downtown Pittsfield, per se, both in summer or in winter, and it's a completely different look.
Yes, absolutely. And two seasons that aren't really well represented are mud season, which is by choice, which is that like gray period between, you know, mid-March and mid-April.
Yeah, and everything's kind of ugly.
Yeah, and right now, you know, after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. But yeah, I mean, the four definable seasons, I think are it's important that in all the books I've done, I've always tried to balance the seasonal sort of representation of the subject matter, and the Berkshires is beautiful in the winter, and it's very popular and highly, you know, visited in the winter because of the winter sports. And I think you can't do a photographic book of the Berkshires that only has beautiful summer and fall pictures. It's not fair and balanced and you know, and representative of what the place really is all about for people who are here all the time, you know.
I asked you originally and said it would be a two-part question. Now here's the second part.
Okay.
The first part was what brings you as a photographer into a project of like this and what you try to accomplish. The second is what you hope, how you see a reader, how you see a purchaser of this volume in using it.
Well, first of all, I always hope that they go through every page and really take time to experience it the first time. And then I hope that their experience, just like a great experience going somewhere, makes you want to come back. And it makes you want to come back over and over and over again. So I hope that they place the book in a spot where they see it a lot and where they may on a rainy day or a cold winter's day or whatever, they may be inspired to pick it up again and look at it imagine the summer or the spring, or in the summer, think about the winter in a beautiful way. And then I hope, obviously, one of the important things for me is the number of eyeballs that see my work. And so I hope that they keep it on their table and that they share it with their guests and visitors and family, and that one book spawns 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 new viewers of my work, new people experiencing my work and appreciating it, and gaining something from it that in some way, large or small, enhances their life or their perception of the place. Or
that's a great answer.
Thank you.
So it's good. That's really good. So let me ask a harder question, and I'm fascinated by this. How do you keep out ugly? In the sense of, if you're looking at a let's just take the cover for example. You have a beautiful barn and a silo and a rolling field, and if there's something in that field,
there is,
you know, a garbage can or when you come upon it, how do you your eye sees that, whether it's a power line or an old school bus that's feeding the cattle or whatever the case may be,
right.
Of to remove that thing from the picture.
Yep. That picture actually is a perfect example, because just below the foreground horizon of the field is the turnpike.
Yeah.
And on the turnpike every day, and at that moment, there were large, 18-wheelers trundling by, right? So I got the camera on the tripod, I got a certain vantage point, and I could see the tops, just the very tops of the trucks going through the frame. So I had to lower the camera level enough to raise the horizon line so that it obscured the trucks. And then I basically was listening just to be sure. I would listen for the sound of the trucks and time the images so that I knew the trucks had passed by or they were far enough away that they wouldn't come into the photograph. And that was at sunrise. So you've got about 5 minutes of time when the light is striking the landscape in a particular way that highlights the silo the way it did and creates the shadowing and gives you a little foreground light so that those goldenrod in the foreground come out. All of that is a matter of moments of time to capture and to be able to plan in the moment instantly how to avoid those ugly elements that you want to eliminate or not. You don't want to have to eliminate. You want to keep them out.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example. And what I teach a lot of people is how to look at a scene and how to find the best vantage point to maximize what's available in that scene, but eliminate all of the things that could be garish about it or could detract from it.
The name of the book is The Berkshires. It's a beautiful coffee table picture book and a wonderful gift. It is absolutely gorgeous of photography from this region. You can find out more by going to sgdphoto.com, and you can find out more information on our website as well, wamc.org. Stephen Donaldson, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Wonderful
also
work. Thank you.
You bet.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.